guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is the talk show Hell Hates. And I know that it is because of the way I feel today. I've got a lot to talk about. I'm not sure how much I'm going to get to. In fact, about 20 minutes ago, I'm not going to do it today. I walked around a little bit and prayed a little bit and sat back down and got some medicine in me. Medicine like this. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers, think of strangers as spirits, devils. And if you really do this study, if you study the word stranger, strange, strangers, I promise you, you're going to come across the word alien. Write that down. Strangers are risen up against me. Devils are risen up against me. And oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Selah is like a musical pause. And anytime you have a pause, whether you're acting, there is a dramatic pause sometimes in giving your lines. In music, there would be a dramatic pause as, you know, one phrase of the music is played, and then it maybe winds down slowly, and then there is a dramatic pause, and then the music then begins to swell up. Well, that's what Selah means, and in just the language of the scriptures, I believe it's a dramatic pause. It gets you to pause to think about these things. Verse 4, behold, God is mine helper. This is Psalm 54. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble. And mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. And then in the Psalm 55, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto my ear and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. You know what that noise is, don't you? That's when you've hit the end of the rope and you're just wrapping it around your arm and hanging on, you cry out to God. God begins to just pull the rope up and save you. Attend unto me and hear me, and I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy. And those voices, I'll be a psychiatrist's dream. I'm hearing voices, doctor. Oh, really? What are these voices saying unto you? because of the voice of the enemy, because of the voice of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Today the weather has changed. It was 102 yesterday, which is a typical September. We call it an Indian summer. September is supposed to be that transition month. And it's in September here in Missouri that you find out that summer doesn't want to quite let go. It doesn't want to cooperate with the fact that today, yesterday and today, would be the first day of autumn. So yesterday it was over 100. And today it is just barely into the 70s. Tomorrow it won't make it out of the 60s. So my body's reacting to that today. And my mind is, I guess, reacting to something. So a little bit of depression, a little bit of anxiety today, but I thought, well, I'm not going to do anything. But as I sat down to read this, I thought, well, why don't I just read this on air and, tell somebody else to read it. They might need it. And you take the medicine, which is God's word, specifically, I believe, the Psalms. And all of a sudden you start feeling a little bit better. Because I'm telling you, devils don't like the word of God. Let's see here. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it. Upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. This next part, I'm going to read this. And as I read it, I am going to think of my son-in-law, Michael. He is doing better. He did a FaceTime with my daughter, Alicia, yesterday. And was still in the hospital. We were hoping he would get out today. I haven't heard anything. So right now, no news is good news. But I want to say to everybody, I appreciate your prayers. And just think of this now. This was, number one, it's a prophecy of Christ. Because Christ was not betrayed by strangers. He was betrayed by one of his own. Verse 12 of Psalm 55. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. I mean, I understand I've got enemies. Our ministry has enemies. You have enemies. And that's it's one thing when your enemies attack you. But when your own friends do it, when your own family members do it, when people you go to church with do it, when your pastor does it to you, because you won't toe the line on what he says you have to believe. Got a call from a guy a little while ago. He wants to believe the Bible the way it's written. But he's got a pastor who is constantly badgering him, has turned his heart against him because of this idea of a 7-year tribulation, which the Bible just doesn't say anything. And so to be turned on by your own church, by your own pastor, by friends that you have, people that you trusted, people that you confided in, it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Now, vengeance belongs to the Lord. That does not necessarily mean that you can't pray for God to give out his vengeance. Look at the next verse. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. That's not the only place in the Bible that says that. David often in the Psalms basically said, God, go get them. They did this to me. They did this to my family. They did this to my men. They did this. They reproached you. God, you won't let me enact vengeance. So God, go get them. Make them an example. Just like Achan, who stole out of Jericho the things that he was not even supposed to touch. Make them like Korah. Moses' first cousin, who led a rebellion against Moses, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up Korah, 250 others, gone just like that, their families, everything. And then everybody's like running over to Moses and saying, Moses, we were on your side the whole time. We were. God knows we were. We were for you the whole time. You know what it was? That scared them so bad, they said, We're not going to turn against Moses. What are we, stupid? Anyway, but verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Amen to that. Now, let's go to Isaiah for the topic du jour. Isaiah 13, Isaiah 34. Yesterday, our good friends at Southwest Radio, Brother James Collins, he was originally supposed to do an interview with me on Tuesday, and Tuesday is when I found out that Michael had been poisoned again, and I was not in very good shape at all on Tuesday. And so we are still praying for him and praying that God will continue to bring him through this. That God will also be gracious enough to us to allow us to continue our ministries there in Samburu County and Turkana County. And it would break my heart to not be able to minister to those people anymore. I don't know. I don't know what I know this. I know that when God takes one thing away, he always gives something that is so far above and better than that you wondered why you settled for the first thing to begin with. And that's biblical. What did he say concerning the old and the new covenant? He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. And when you ponder it, you realize that the second testament is far superior than that of the first. The first testament, the first covenant, required strict obedience to God. The second covenant just said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Now, and on top of everything, my bones ache today. I've got a little depression running, and my stomach hurts. My stomach's bothering me. So I got like everything in the world working against me today. I mentioned my interview with Southwest Radio. They're going to offer the DVDs on cryptid creatures, which goes a few years back, and that got me going again on the subject of Bigfoot. I was going back through some old notes and looking at it in some new ways, and there is something that I had said about my theory that Bigfoot, Sasquatch, is actually in the Bible. And the things that I studied out yesterday afternoon Do not lead me to believe that I was wrong about that. It actually helps me solidify the fact that I am right about that. So I'm going to try to get to that. I'm going to try to go as long as I can today. But if I don't, get to that today, if I just, if it gets to be about 2 o'clock and I say, people, I can't go anymore today, I at least want to get to what really is the most important part of Isaiah 13 and Isaiah 34. Whether or not you would agree that that's a Sasquatch-type creature or not, hopefully we will all agree that there's a reason why God sends those creatures or allows those creatures to be seen, the mystery of them, and give you an explanation for them. And so that's what I hope to accomplish. Again, I may not be able to do that today. So Isaiah chapter 13, and before I show you that, I got a comic book. And to be honest with you, I still like comic books. But this one was sent to me by our good friends John and Kathy Uter. Live down in Lebanon, Missouri. And now this is a bonus one because it has a poster in it. I wonder if I should tear the poster out and hang it up in here. And it's just this poster of this really cool-looking Superman, okay? And it's called The Last Son of Krypton. And what happened was in the, I think in the early 90s, the people at DC Comics decided to just they brought in a whole new group of artists, writers, and they're going to just completely redo Superman. They felt like they had taken the old Superman about as far as they could take him. You know, in the 30s and 40s, the Man of Steel starts out as faster than a speeding bullet. And when he's shot with bullets, they just bounce off of him. And to kids living in, you know, the days of World War II, that was so super cool that bullets just bounced right off Superman. But then you get into the 60s and 70s, and bullets just don't cut it anymore. We have to have aliens with ray guns. We have to have all these other things. And then DC decided to, I guess, kill off their old staff, take them out back and shoot them or whatever, and start with a new staff of writers and artists and so on. Now, this is Action Comics, issue number 687. One thing I know about Action Comics is that it was the first comic book series that ever made it to its 500th issue. And I actually used to have that issue. I bought it. I don't remember what year it came out, but when I was probably about 12, something like that, it was way more than like 35 cents. It was a few bucks, but it was a lot. There was a lot of pages to it, and it had a pretty interesting story. And of course, Lex Luthor was in it, and so on. But it was the 500th issue of Action Comics, and there was actually at least two comic books that featured Superman. There was Action Comics, which always featured Superman, and then there was Superman Comics, which was another Superman, or another Superman comic book. Now, this one, again, it's new writers with new stories, and some of them are at the least freaky, if not just downright occult. What interested John and Kathy, and they, I mean, this was packed the way you're supposed to pack old comics. You're supposed to put them in a plastic container like this with a cardboard thing so that it holds its form. And that's how you're supposed to store it. So they, I don't know where they were. And I don't know why they were out comic book shopping. Sounds a little off to me. But anyway, no, I think they just found this at an antique store or something like that. But what caught their eye on this was, it says, Reign of the Supermen, Superman in Action Comics. And apparently Superman has been killed. Now, this is not the only time Superman's been killed, but Superman has been killed, and the front cover says the funeral is over. Notice that imagery. That's a fetus. And it says, born again. Where did they get that phrase from? The only religion that ever offers the chance to be born again is Bible Christianity. It's the only one. So they looked at that and they sent it to me just on that basis. Born again. Well, you know what I did? I took it out of the plastic. And of course, I had to read it to find out what the story was, right? And that's the title of it. That's the title of it, Born Again. And I don't know exactly. Well, this part is interesting. They're down in Antarctica, okay? And right now, there is a lot of jabber. The ancient aliens are talking about this. Linda Moulton Howe is talking about this nonstop. She says she has whistleblowers that are telling her that there's all kinds of things buried under the ice that are of alien origin. They're talking about Admiral Byrd and Operation High Jump, and that how Admiral Byrd, when he flew over the South Pole, found an entrance into the Earth that took him into a place where there was a beautiful, crystal clear lake, moderate temperatures, trees everywhere, and a superior race of beings that lived there that pulled his plane like with a tractor beam, and it landed, and they took him to the leader of this civilization that lived inside of the earth, and his name was the Master. That's what they called Jesus. And Jesus told us, call no man master. But anyway, I don't know if any of that is true. I have no idea. To my knowledge, I don't know that there is a reference in the Bible to a continent that is at the South Pole. I don't know that. Now, in this book, there is activity going on, and all of a sudden, there is this big ball of energy buried beneath the ice, and it comes out, and then the ball of energy begins to turn into the image of a fiery soul. And so the image of the fiery soul, it looks like that. And in the first panel, it says, like in the little box where it's describing what's going on, retrieval has been limited to 98.073%. However, despite the loss, there is still a 79.237% chance for reconstruction. And the fiery soul says this: I am. That was pretty dramatic, wasn't it? That's what it says. Now, who is I am? Yeah. Born again. Now, my theory, of course, is that there are two types of born again. Born again of incorruptible seed, and born again of corruptible seed. Isaiah 13. Open your Bible up. You'll like this. You'll need this. Remember what Isaiah 13 is and what Isaiah 34 is. It represents the banishment of Jesus Christ in a country. Represents the banishment of Christ in a community, a church, a family, or a home. You know, there's some families that are bad from grandpa all the way down. Grandpa's an alcoholic, he's a drunk. He's molested some of his own grandchildren. The children that grow up under him are some of the worst people in the community. Men and women both. They're in and out of jail. And anyway, they're in and out of jail. Doing drugs, selling drugs, cooking drugs. And then their children turn out to be far worse than them. And you can tell that there is a complete absence of Jesus Christ in their family. And I have seen families like that. And so that family, there are devils everywhere. They're in every room of their house. They're out in the barn. They're in the cars. They're with the people all the time, sometimes in them. Whole families like that. Then you have an individual who this could be. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called mine mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. Where does that tell you they're coming from? While I'm here, since I am attempting to talk about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Wild Man, Satyr, I have a book called, it's about Skinwalker Ranch. It was written by Colm Kelleher and George, what's his name? He's the reporter at KTLA in Las Vegas. He fills in for I've just forgotten everybody in the whole world's name now. But he is the one who broke the Bob Lazar story. He has done work out at Skinwalker Ranch. He's helped investigate that. And when Robert Bigelow took over the Skinwalker Ranch, Skinwalker Ranch is a place where I can tell you it is absolutely completely void of anything that relates to Jesus Christ. Because at Skinwalker Ranch, there is every kind of poltergeist activity. Poltergeist, UFOs. The very most bizarre happenings. Cattle mutilations. They call them mutilations, but the truth of it is these cattle are not mutilated. They have certain parts that are so surgically removed. And there isn't even a teaspoonful of blood in any of them left. And, I mean, it is some of the weirdest stuff that you will ever see. Well, that stuff takes place all the time. Portals that open up in the sky where you can look into them and actually see another sky inside that portal. Like, that sky is from a completely different place, not on this earth, mind you. It is of a completely different location. That's the kind of stuff that happens at Skinwalker Ranch. It freaked the owners out so bad that they were just going to try to sell it to get rid of it. And fortunately, Bigelow came along and I don't know what kind of deal he made them, but I'm sure he got them their money back. They had lost money on the Simmental bulls that they were trying to raise out there. And so Bigelow was very interested in the occult. Robert Bigelow, his wife died a few years ago, and he wanted to try to get in touch with her again, which I don't know why. Because if she would have showed up, if his dead wife would have showed up at certain times, she would have found Bigelow, surely she would have found Bigelow in bed with some Las Vegas gals. I'll put it that way. And this I know for a fairly, I have a good source on this one. Okay, I have a good source on this one. But anyway, he was trying to get in touch with his dead wife, and he figures, I'm going to buy Skinwalker, and we're going to figure all this out. We're going to put scientific instruments everywhere. And every time something got ready to happen, all of his cameras, all of his instruments went, they turned off. Some occult thing would happen. And then their cameras started working again, because these guys were never caught on camera doing what they were doing. The cameras always shut off. One night at Skinwalker Ranch, a group of the scientists, and I think Calm Kelleher was one of them, they were sitting up on the mesa that overlooked a large majority of the ranch. And they all had their cameras, and they all had infrared recording devices. They had, you name it, they had it sitting out there, figuring something would happen. About 4 o'clock in the morning, they start putting everything up, packing up all their gear. Everybody was getting tired. And so they did that. They put everything away, and no matter, and just about as soon as they had everything put away, they looked down from the mesa that they were on, and they looked down toward one of the old houses. And an orange circle appeared. And the circle got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then coming out of this circle, like it was a tube, only you couldn't really see the tube. You know, the hole that the Roadrunner used to pick up, the hole that Coyote would cut in the road, this big black thing, and then Roadrunner would go by and pick up the hole and move it around, sort of like that. But anyway, this was orange, and this orange hole appeared as if it was a doorway to another dimension or some sort of portal or something like that. And of course, nobody's getting pictures of this. What came crawling out about 4 in the morning was this huge, giant Sasquatch creature. The creature crawled out of the hole, stepped out onto the ground, began to walk off, and the hole started getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until it just dissipated. So they began to follow with their eyes this Sasquatch, followed him off into the distance, and as soon as it got daylight, they ran down there and they found footprints, and they followed the footprints about a mile or two, And then the footprints just disappeared. They stopped. No more footprints. Nothing. So, I mean, we're talking weird, weird things that's going on here. And so anyway, in Isaiah 13, where it says, verse 5, they've come from a far country, from one end of heaven. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation destroy the whole land. When it says heaven, I believe it means that. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Then shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed in one at another, and their faces shall be as flames. Now, this exact piece here, where it says, they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. That is 1 Thessalonians 5. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. What is prophesied here in Isaiah 13, it absolutely will happen again. It will happen in relation to what I believe we'll find in the future. It's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 5, it will precede the day of the Lord. People are going to be in pangs as of a woman with child. But once the woman has the child and the pain goes away, everybody's going, oh, great. This is wonderful. This is going to be a wonderful new age. We've given birth to Ichabod, whose name means what? The glory is departed. So anyway, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For as the stars of heaven and the constellations are, con means together, with together. The stellations means the stellar objects, which are the stars. So the stars that gather together during certain months of the year is what that means. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make man even more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. That is Joel chapter 2. That is Matthew chapter 24. That is Revelation chapter 6. That is the book of Hebrews, where God takes the earth and the heavens, and he shakes them so violently. Number one, everything here on the earth is going to fall down. Number two, everything that is on the earth that relates to the same thing I was referring to, the stars, the earth, God is going to shake them both. Everybody that's on the earth is going to fall that day, except to those whom God strengthens their feeble needs. He's going to shake the stars so violently that they're going to fall. One third of the angelic realm is going to fall out of the heavens and fall down to the earth. And I believe, just like God removing the chariot wheels off of the chariots, when you take the tires off of a car, you basically have a motorized brick. That's all you have. And these guys, I love it when these guys that are running from the police, and the police manage to knock out all four tires, and yet they're still trying to outdo the police. And inevitably, not only do the tires catch on fire, but the motor catches on fire as well. Anyway, verse 13, again, there God said, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, and in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one to his own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through. Everyone that has joined unto them shall fall by the sword. The children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. That's a hard thought to take. I knew a pastor out in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, to be exact. Pretty good man. I liked him. And this happened back in the 80s. Him and his wife, their parsonage was right next to the church. And so, you know, they got done shaking everybody's hand, and was going to go home, get a bite to eat, take a little Sunday afternoon nap. When they got home, somebody had broke into their house during the church service and was waiting for them when they got into their house. When they saw the both of them, they were a young couple. They tied the man up, and they raped his wife repeatedly, stole what they had, tied him and her both up, and drove off. And they made that pastor watch them do that to his wife. That was back in the 80s, people. This world has gotten a lot sicker since then. Verse 17, behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. In Babylon, here it is. Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds. There we go. Listen to this now. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Shepherds are pastors. And believe it or not, there are just some places in this world God may raise someone up who just has the personality and the Spirit of God in them to be able to build a church in some of the worst, roughest areas in the world. There are places in this world that are just so evil. And God just may have them build a church there. But in this case here, there's no shepherds. There's no flocks. There are no people. There's nothing. And God won't let it happen. Because of the lifestyle and the lives and everything else that goes along with this people. Because of the lives that they live and want to live, and they do not want Jesus in any form, in any shape whatsoever. They don't want him. God said in verse 17, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bow also shall dash the young men to pieces. They shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare the children. That's a sad, sad day when that comes. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 20, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. It's never, ever, ever going to happen. There's them shepherds again. They may try. They may work at it. But more than likely, it's not going to happen. But here's what happens. Verse 21, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there. And satyrs, however you want to pronounce it, shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the land shall cry in their desolate houses. And here we go. We got to bring the dragons in on this. And dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not prolong. Now, what I was going to do is get into these satyrs or satyrs, satyrs, however you want to pronounce it. I was going to read to you the King James pronouncement and try to give you a little bit better background as to what these are. And I believe they are real. 100%. Bona fide, these things are real. I've not seen one. I've seen enough video to convince me that they do exist. And was going to talk about that today, but I'm not well enough today to do that. The main point I wanted to make today before we leave is, you know, I've taught about this before. These beasts that show up in the land where God has been removed out, whether that land is your own heart, whether that land is, you know, within your family, whenever the void of Jesus Christ exists in a community, the void of Jesus Christ exists in an entire nation. Whenever that happens, these wild creatures, 100% guaranteed, they will show up. They will show up. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit does not dwell with you, does not dwell inside of you. And if that's the case, these beasts are pretty much going to have their way in your life, your mind, your family, between you and your friends, because, hey, some of your friends aren't saved and their mind is inhabited by these things every single day. So keep that in mind. Let me announce this. Tomorrow and Saturday, if you are in the Festus metropolitan area, we are having a huge yard sale. Part of it is outside. Part of it is inside. The weather is going to be absolutely phenomenal. So if you live within the sound of my voice here in this area, I invite you to come. And come buy all the stuff that we realized we didn't need when we went through our house after our fire. Come take it off our hands from us, would you? But anyway, big yard sale. And you just never know. I might feel good enough tomorrow to make another Pastor Mike online. But we'll see about that. I appreciate your prayers for me. Appreciate your love for us. Your love for Michael. That you would continue to bless him, give him his health back. If he is bent on doing the things that he knows needs to be done out there, then may God watch over him. But if he decides to do what I told him to do, which is come home, then God bless him. I hate to lose everything that we've worked toward in the past six, I guess, years since we started those radio stations. I hate to lose all that work, but God gave it to us the first time. He can do it for us the second time. So just pray for our ministries there. And we'll be sure to lift you up in prayer as many as we can think of. All right? Well, we need some happy music here. There we go. Happy, happy, happy. And continue to pray for me. Pray for our church. Pray for our ministries. The Lord bless you. You are the reason why that even on days like this that I do what I do. I want to be a blessing to you. And I want to show you that even when you're not at your best, it could very well be that God plans on being at His best. And I'd rather give Him all the glory and praise anyway. Lord bless you. We will see you this Sunday. Think Bible.